This is the TTY Dialer, episode 45, for the week of September 11th through September 16th. Hi, this is Mark Lavonier, and welcome to your weekly companion to WRVO's old-time radio show Tuned to Yesterday, where every night starting at 10, you can hear Golden Age of Radio Mystery, Thrills, Romance, Adventure, Science Fiction, Westerns, and more, live on the air or streaming live online at WRVO.org. And in this weekly podcast, I bring you fun with sound from radio's past, radio history, and a look at the shows coming up for the week on Tuned to Yesterday.
Well, sir, tomorrow is Armistice Day, and we hope you have a pleasant weekend. Now, if you're out in the family car, remember to stop in at your friendly Skelly service station. First, for some tailor-made Aromax gasoline and Skelly Tagoline winter oil. And second, to get your free Mexican jumping beans and your Ringo Jumbo game. Yes, they're free to every member of Captain Midnight's 1940 Flight Patrol. Now, if you're not a member yet, you can still get your jumping beans and the game if you see your Skelly man right away and join up. But don't delay, because we can only give them out while they last. So get your free bag of Mexican jumping beans and your free Ringo Jumbo game at your Skelly service station tonight or tomorrow for sure. Now don't forget to tune in again Monday, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight. Brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers.
That was a commercial for the Captain Midnight radio show that sort of took a quick turn from buy gas to get the jumping beans, but the more even volume about the gasoline to the louder announcing of the jumping beans was pretty much all by design to speak to the adults and hold the attention of the kids listening, at that time numbering close to 5 million kids every weeknight at 5:45, and as mentioned in the commercial, about 1 million of those listeners were part of the fan club known as Captain Midnight's Flight Patrol. Now, one of the competitor shows, Little Orphan Annie, closed after 10 years on the air on the Mutual Network, and that network and Little Orphan Annie's sponsor Ovaltine welcomed the fast-paced Captain Midnight with open arms to their network, or open wings, and the giveaways to the kids whose family bought Ovaltine were upped to an almost overwhelming number of Dakota rings, in particular, that cracked numerical messages given out during a broadcast, or ones that acted like kind of a random yes or no instead of flipping a coin. The show really embraced what's called radio premiums, and according to one historian, with all of the Dakota rings given out from the show over the course of 9 years, Captain Midnight was probably the biggest cryptographer on radio. Coming up on Tuned to Yesterday, this Monday night, September 11th at 10, it's an hour of drama from the Lux Radio Theater, adapting Great Expectations from 1954, then Mystery for an hour from The Weird Circle and the Screen Director's Playhouse from 1949. And this Tuesday night, comedy from The Edgar Bergen Show from 1956, then an hour of romance from the Four Star Playhouse and the show Romance.
Well, she just wouldn't forget an old friend like Hank.
Yeah, that's right. It'd take some doing for you to forget Hank, wouldn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I didn't mean anything.
Well, so far we've broken two rules. We've organized Jeff.
I did.
After I promised faithfully we just have a quiet visit together, the four of us. And now we're talking about people he doesn't know.
No, don't worry about me, Sally. I'm interested. I came up here to meet Monica's friends, especially her old friends.
You can hear these shows Monday, September 11th and Tuesday, September 12th, live on the air on WRVO in the central and northern New York region, or streaming live online as we air it at WRVO.org. The final episode of NBC's Tales of the Texas Rangers was heard this Thursday, September 14th in 1952, closing out a two-year run for a, at least for a time, popular series. It was first heard on the air in July of 1950, adapting true stories of the law enforcement outfit known as the Texas Rangers, who patrolled the 260,000 square miles of the Lone Star State, and listeners were shepherded through the stories through the first-person view of Ranger Jace Pearson, played by actor Joel McRae, who was pretty versatile, but really was widely known at that time for his work in Western movies, mainly thanks to Will Rogers, who helped McRae early on in his movie career in the 1920s. And speaking of the movies, the Texas Rangers series was originally envisioned as a film by producer Stacy Keach, who in the later 1940s was working as a dialogue coach for Universal Studios, but by the time he received permission from one of the oldest law enforcement agencies in the country, that's the Rangers, he realized that adapting their stories weekly on radio would better suit his vision. So Keach set out to research in the field with a veteran of the force to witness their investigative process, and that was a person who received credit on pretty much every show, M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez. So after traveling around 1,500 miles around the state and on cases, the radio show was prepared and made its premiere to listeners who were pretty curious about the relatively unknown stories of the Rangers, and shortly after its debut, it was quickly compared to the most famous police procedural show of that time, Dragnet. That comparison didn't really cause the show to suffer. Inconsistent scheduling and attention being paid to television took care of that, but the similarities were clear, from the step-by-step process of uncovering clues of a crime to a sentence being handed down at the end of the broadcast. The two programs weren't exactly competing either, as they were both heard on the same NBC network, though the Texas Rangers bounced around the radio schedule until its final broadcast. Here's some sound from it.
Mrs. Compton, we don't want to hold your daughter if she's innocent. But she hasn't told us where she got those stockings. We hoped you'd make her understand how serious this is.
Grace Maud, I want you to tell me the truth. Where'd you get those stockings?
Where
did you get them? I want the truth.
I found them.
Where'd you find them, Grace Maud?
On the street, outside the drugstore.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
Because I knew you'd think I stole them.
Are you telling the truth?
Sure, I'm telling the truth. That's what I get for trying to be nice.
Nice? What you talking about?
I was going to give them to you for your birthday. I found the stockings. They're so big for you, so I was trying to change them for your size.
You sure you weren't getting them for yourself?
No, I wasn't. I was just trying to surprise you. I never had no money to buy you a decent present.
Well, you might if you got a job once in a while.
All I was trying to do was give you something nice for your birthday, and nobody believes me.
Grace Maud, were you really going to give me those stockings?
Sure I was. Something else you don't know. I've been looking for a job. All last week I was looking.
Grace Maud,
ever since I found them stockings this morning, I've been thinking how you were going to like them. You don't have no pretty stockings. You don't even believe me.
I don't know, Ranger. I think she's telling the truth.
I am.
I think she is too, Mrs. Compton. Looks like we could have made a mistake.
Well, we had no way of knowing.
We didn't mean to cause either of you any embarrassment.
Forget it, Ranger. Grace Maud, I'm sorry I yelled at you before. I appreciate you thinking about my birthday.
I'll get you something real nice. You just wait. Ma?
Yeah?
Can I go to that double feature tonight? I promise I won't ask you to go again until I get a job. Can I, Ma?
Well, all right. I'll drop you on my way to work.
Gee, thanks, Ma.
I reckon we'll be going, ma'am. Come on, Sheriff.
Bye, Ranger.
Bye, Grace Maud. We didn't believe a word Grace Maud had said. She'd fooled her mother, and we wanted her to think she'd fooled us. We're pretty sure her plans went beyond seeing a movie that night, and we hoped sooner or later she'd lead us to her boyfriend. We waited near the house in our car till a little after 7 that evening. Grace Maud and her mother came out and got into an old jalopy. We followed them into town. Mrs. Compton let Grace Maud out in front of the theater. We parked half a block down the street and waited.
I reckon we got ourselves a lot of time to kill before she comes out of that picture show.
Uh-huh.
What if she doesn't try to get in touch with her boyfriend tonight?
We just keep watching her until she does.
Maybe I could get a couple of deputies to stay. Chase, she didn't go in that movie house after all.
No, she's starting down the street.
Yeah, right toward us. If she sees us, we're
finished. Get down in the seat as far as you can.
Yeah. Lucky you haven't got your horse trailer hooked on back or she'd spot us, sure.
Yeah, let's just hope she doesn't see the radio aerials.
I can hear her now. Sounds like she's still heading this way.
Yeah. Keep it low, Sheriff.
Yeah. Boy, I was sure she'd notice us.
Where's she going?
She just turned the corner into a side street.
Come on.
You reckon she's going someplace to meet him now?
It's hard to say.
I've been thinking about this owl fella Grace Maud's mother mentioned today. Wondering if he's the one we're after.
So have I. Didn't want to ask too many questions about him. Watch it going around the corner, Sheriff.
Hey, Jace, with that fellow in the convertible, it's her. They're pulling away.
Stay here and watch where they go. I'll get the car and pick you up in a few seconds. By the time I picked up the sheriff, the convertible was out of sight. The sheriff thought they'd headed toward the main highway leading out of town. He was right. We spotted them just past the town limits. After 3 miles of hard driving, we began to gain on them. 5 minutes later, we were 100 yards behind the convertible.
They see us, Chase. He's stepping it up a little.
Yeah, just what we're going to do.
Want me to try a shot at their tires?
I don't think so. We'll pull alongside of them.
We're making it.
Yeah. Yell at them to pull over.
Pull over, you! Pull over to the side!
Don't be crazy, Thomas!
Watch yourself. He's going to shoot.
Sorry, that dirty little...
Hang on, Sheriff. We'll force him over.
He's making a break for that brush.
Stay with the girl. I'll get him.
Put that out, Ranger!
You keep quiet, Grace Mullins.
Drop the gun, you.
And what I think of you, Ranger?
I'm warning you. If you don't want to get hurt, come out of that brush with your hands up.
No, you never hit me. Shut up! Hadn't been for you being so dumb, I wouldn't be here now.
I don't want to hurt you, son. Drop that gun and come out with your hands up. This is your last chance. Give me that gun. Now get up.
Oh, my shoulder.
Get up. Let's go.
Help
me, Hank. Oh, listen to that always yapping. Shut up, you big mouth.
Come on.
Oh, your shoulder's weak.
Oh, you cut down real quick.
Handcuff them together, Sheriff.
I wish there was something I could do for you.
You've done enough. I wish I had my gun. I'd put a slug right through your stupid head.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's get these two back to town.
This Wednesday night, September 13th, on Tune to Yesterday, it's Westerns at 10 o'clock. Jimmy Stewart is the six-shooter. You'll hear the audition broadcast of that show from 1953, then the audition broadcast of Gunsmoke from 1949. After that, horror from The Weird Circle and The Sealed Book. Then this Thursday, September 14th at 10, it's comedy from Meet Millie and the Magnificent Montague sitcoms, in fact. Then at 11, it's crime from episodes of Suspense and the Screen Director's Playhouse, adapting Ernest Hemingway's story-turned-movie, then radio show The Killers.
I'll take the first $100,000. You can divide the rest three ways.
Who declared you in for the big slice?
I declared myself.
What about Kitty?
Kitty's with me.
What do you mean, Kitty's with you?
Don't start anything now, sweet.
What do you mean, she's with you? I spent 3 years in stir for a robbery she done. What are you trying to give me? She's with you.
You want a blueprint, sweet? All right, I'll give you a blueprint.
Shut up, Jim.
You keep your mouth shut if you don't want it slap shut.
You put a hand on Kitty, Jim. You just try.
Oh, keep out of it, sweet. Kitty's Jim's girl now.
Get out of my way, Blinky.
Sweet, mind your own business.
This is my business.
If any of these shows sound good to you, make a plan and hear them Wednesday, September 13th and Thursday, September 14th from 10 to midnight on the air on Tune to Yesterday and online, streaming live at WRVO.org. Mentioning that Gunsmoke episode, which was an audition, reminds me of when I first actually started working here when the program was called the WRVO Playhouse. And I had heard a lot of old-time radio from listening to the station and also collecting cassettes and that kind of thing at the time. And I remember the Gunsmoke audition I was pretty excited about because I hadn't yet heard it or knew it existed and I was going to play it that night. Now, back then, we used to play the shows directly off of a reel-to-reel tape straight to the air with no processing whatsoever, and typically they were untouched in terms of making them sound better, aside from cigarette commercials being edited right out of them by physically cutting the tape with a razor blade and using a grease pencil for a reference. So as the story goes, someone spliced in a goof on one of the introductions to Gunsmoke where they say, "Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with the U.S. Marshal and the smell of..." Now right there is supposed to be the word gun smoke, but instead someone had spliced in, and this went out over the air, the word horse shit. Yeah. Kinda wish I was listening that night. One of England's most celebrated mystery writers, as popular the world over as her home country, Agatha Christie was born this Friday, September 15th in 1890, and would create the iconic detective characters Hercule Poirot and Miss Marple that have captivated audiences for decades and decades. Although her mystery stories have taken readers on adventures all over the globe, many of the solutions to her stories have been revealed in one room, with strange and eccentric suspects shoulder to shoulder with one of her eccentric crime solvers. Over the years, Agatha Christie and the company her name has become has sold over 2 billion books worldwide in 45 different languages, and a writing career that lasted more than a half century, all starting on basically a dare by her sister and a challenge, and that opened the floodgates to classics like Murder on the Orient Express, A Pocket Full of Rye, And Then There Were None, Murder at the Vicarage, and many more featuring her two leads of Poirot and Marple, though never in the same story. Christie addressed this once by commenting that, quote, Hercule Poirot, the complete egoist, would not like being taught his business by an elderly spinster lady. Their adventures have held well throughout the years and have had success in the movies, the stage, TV, of course, and on radio, where Agatha Christie's career was more prolific than one might think. As early as 1930, she was writing stories for the BBC program Behind the Screen, and the following year for the radio show The Scoop, where she would read her stories on the air from start to finish. And after that experience, she vowed never to do that again because of her stage fright. Stateside, Christie's work wasn't heard on the air often, but when it was really treated as an event. At least it was when the Kemble Playhouse became the first acting troupe in America to adapt one of her stories on radio. Orson Welles took on the role of Belgian detective Poirot in the story The Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
The English people, they have a mania for the fresh air. The big air is all very well outside where it belongs. Why admit it to the house?
Hey, who are you? How did you get in here?
You call yourself, unfortunate man, an inspector of police, and you say to me, who am I? Hercule Poirot, master detective, possessed of the finest brain in Europe, known in every continent, in every land, nay, in every city.
Not in my part of the world, you ain't. I never heard of you.
I'll vouch for Monsieur Poirot, Inspector. At my house, the phone call came. Mr. Ackroyd's death.
Oh, well, all right then. He can stay. But this is my case, and don't you forget it.
Following that adaptation, one of her stories was adapted on the Murder Clinic radio show. Then the program Suspense took on her story, The ABC Murders, and cast the first actor to portray Hercule Poirot on the stage, Charles Laughton. Poirot was certainly a popular character, and through the books and adaptations, a radio series was developed that was heard on both the Mutual and CBS radio networks in the mid-1940s. Radio actor Carl Eastman was given the opportunity to direct in his first outing, and began by making the first episode a real event by having Agatha Christie herself deliver opening remarks. And something interesting happened, whether by design or if it was an accident that forced the rookie director to foresee and prepare for the circumstance, I'm not sure which, but listen to the opening of this first broadcast of Hercule Poirot and you'll soon know what I mean.
So it is our privilege to present a message from Agatha Christie introducing Hercule Poirot from London, England. The next voice you hear will be Miss Agatha Christie's. Go ahead, London. We regret that due to atmospheric conditions, we have been unable to bring you Miss Christie from London. However, we have a recording which she made earlier today and which was transmitted by shortwave to this country. We present it now.
I feel that this is an occasion that would have appealed to Hercule Poirot. He would have done justice to the inauguration of this radio program, and he might even have made it seem something of an international event. However, as he is heavily engaged on an investigation, about which you will hear in due course, I must, as one of his oldest friends, deputize for him. The great man has his little foibles, but really, I have the greatest affection for him, and it is a source of continuing satisfaction to me that there has been such a generous response to his appearance on my books. And I hope that his new career on the radio will make many new friends for him among a wider public.
Now, from later in the broadcast, called The Case of the Careless Victim, Harold Huber is Hercule Poirot.
Come, it will not be the first time you have left the elevator unattended, Monsieur Gendy. Come along.
Mr. Perrault, you're wasting your time in this basement, believe me.
Nevertheless, it interests me. Please to light the way.
There's nothing here, just a lot of ash cans.
One moment. What is behind this door?
That's the laundry bin. We keep the solid sort of linen in there. You won't find anything in there.
We shall take one brief glance, eh?
There, you see? Nothing but a pile of dirty sheets and pillowcases.
Good gracious, what a laundry bill they must have.
Eh bien, let us proceed to... One moment.
What is it?
Sacre bleu, you're protruding from under these sheets.
Holy cow.
A foot, a small foot, this is what I feel.
Look!
Ah, it moves. Then we are not too late. Quickly, monsieur, help me to uncover her.
That's all I know, Mr. Poirot. I was walking along the street toward the hotel. Just as I passed the alley, I was pulled in. I tried to scream, but something was pressed against my mouth.
Chloroform, Miss Parrish. Oh. Had you seen your assailant, you would have seen Hilary Kent. Hello, Miss Parrish. You were most fortunate. Another few minutes under those linens, and who knows? Voila. Here is the room of your father. Inspector Stevens, here is Miss Parrish.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Come in. I was afraid, Poirot, you'd turn up with a body. How'd you manage to find her?
That is not important now. We have found her. But we seem to have lost the father.
Oh, yes. Miss Parrish, I'm sorry. Your father's terribly upset about you. But his material was delivered, and he had to rush off to the airport.
Oh, no. Don't tell me I missed him after all this.
Ah, ma pauvre petite. We have neglected you, eh? Miss Thresher, your room is now free of corpses. Please take Mademoiselle Parrish down and extend to her the first aid.
Come along, Laura.
Thank you.
Inspector, I hope you do not later have cause to regret that you permitted Parrish to go off to the airport unprotected.
He'll be all right. Besides, I've got a job to do here, although, frankly, I'm in a complete fog. I can't make head or tail of the whole business.
No, Stevens. The head and the tail we have.
What?
Yes, it is merely a fragment of the middle that we still lack.
Well, who is it? Hey, Poirot, where are you going?
To see how Miss Parrish is, and to telephone the airport to see that Mr. Parrish receives the proper attention. Au revoir.
Coming up on Tune to Yesterday, Friday night, September 15th, science fiction from Exploring Tomorrow and an episode of the Radio City Playhouse.
The whole thing's absolutely ridiculous. Him and his winds that blow up and winds that blow down.
I know, Jane, but he's got such an imagination, you know, writing and everything.
I have absolutely no sympathy for a man who continually runs into windstorms and hurricanes and then gets a persecution complex about it.
You've got to admit that was some experience he had in the Himalayas during the war.
Lots of people had bad experiences during the war. You don't believe what he said about that valley, do you?
Well, it makes a good story.
After that, it's Adventure from Dangerous Assignment and the Adventures of Frank Reyes, and the Saturday Night Mystery at 10 o'clock from Bulldog Drummond. Then Jack Webb stars as Johnny Madero on Pier 23 from 1947. And we wrap up the night with drama from The Marriage and Rogers of the Gazette from 1953, starring Will Rogers Jr. Again, you can hear these shows Friday, September 15th and Saturday, September 16th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. And if you have any questions for me about Tune to Yesterday or the TTY Dialer podcast, if there's something you'd like me to talk about or a show you'd like me to schedule, anything along that line, just send me an email. It's mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. And that does it for this week. Thanks a lot for listening to the TTY Dialer. I'll be back next week.